So it's fantastic to have you back here again this week for the latest episode of The Change Show. And I want to get straight on and introduce my very special guest, Renee Smith. Renee, it's wonderful to have you back again. You and I shared some time on a podcast recently, and I just thought it'd be fantastic to have you come into the Change Show. Come on in. How did you come up with the idea of a human workplace?
Oh my goodness. So I was working in Washington state government. So Washington state is in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, and we like to say the other Washington. And I was working in a state agency, the Department of Enterprise Services, the Central Services Agency. And my work was in organization development and continuous improvement. So I directed that function for our agency. And my work was all about trying to improve the delivery of services and to create a culture where people could speak up and share their ideas and point out problems and make things better. And in the process of that work, came to an epiphany about what's required to make, to have what's required in that culture, what's required to help people to behave that way. And a leader and I were having a conversation, and I asked him, so what do you think, Chris Liu, my director of the agency, what do you think is the most important job of a leader? And he immediately replied, to eliminate fear from the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I loved that answer. It resonated, and it also only seemed like half the story. Mm-hmm. It made sense to me. We'd been doing that. But the other half of the story was that when we decrease fear, the thing that takes fear's place, I came to believe, is love.
Yeah.
Love. Fear and love are these true primary human experiences that we have. All of the negative we experience in life has its roots in fear. All of the positive in love. And so I got pretty clear on that and did some research, studied to understand the neurophysiology of fear and of love, and really began to explore and eventually do primary research, qualitative interviews with people on their experiences of fear and of love in the workplace. And through those, I think now 65 interviews, have gotten super clear on how damaging fear is and how beneficial love is. I began to speak and teach on that in my work. And of course, you can't be the woman talking about love in government and not get a little bit of attention. And so there was some growing interest in what is this woman saying, both globally and then within the state as well. So eventually that work, I started to speak around the world. I've spoken in 8 countries over the last few years. And eventually they created a position for me in the governor's office as director of workplace transformation for the state of Washington. And my entire job was to make workplaces more loving and human. Just before the pandemic hit, I knew that it was time for me to bring this message out to the world. And so I actually resigned and came into private work and launched a human workplace as a private enterprise, believing that I was going to be traveling and propagating this this idea and these practices around the world. And that's happened, but all from my home, of course. I haven't gotten on a plane at all to go share this message, but have certainly had the opportunity. We immediately, by March 16th, we were live with a virtual gathering called Working Alone Together, and have done outreach throughout the last year and a half, both open sessions and just inviting people in to process their experiences of the pandemic, of the racial reckoning, and as this year has unfolded, all of the things that we've experienced, feeling that was our primary example or our primary expression and support of love right now. That was the most loving thing that we could do for people, and helping organizations to do that as well. And in the process of that, have gathered, now 45 people or so around who are helping in that work in some way. And so, initially we host these gatherings to process the pandemic, but we also offer really a message. I offer a key message about decreasing fear and increasing love in the workplace, and then culture transformation services to help workplaces make work more loving and human.
So I've seen you work your magic with a bunch of doctors that we were working with, didn't I?
It was such a delight to be with you.
Yeah, and to see their eyes open to something that they sort of know about. They know about love and they know about fear, but they hadn't really thought about it in terms of the workplace. And I think that was the bit that really, you know, that was the eye-opening experience was, yeah, there's a whole load of things that we call something else that are actually fear and love. It's almost like you're introducing a whole new language, isn't it?
Right, yeah. And it's a whole new language that comes from people's stories. Mm. So, you know, I think that's been part of the magic, if you will, or part of the insight and the ability to connect and open up and persuade people that actually fear is harmful. And I'm not talking about being uncomfortable, but about toxic fears, that is harmful. And no, we don't want those things. We don't perform well when we're in those conditions. And conversely, that love in all of the forms that we want at work, that people identified in their stories, that look like respect and trust and kindness and compassion and empathy and inclusion and belonging and equity, courage and appreciation, all of those forms are, yeah, things that people do want and that benefit us and that help us to feel comfortable speaking up, showing up, sharing, going the extra mile, you know, all of the things that we hope and want in our teams and in our organization happen when people sense that psychological safety and security of being essentially loved in these different forms. And you know, through the stories, through sharing these examples and quotes and stories, I have seen people's sort of skepticism like fall away. And people realize, oh, so you're not talking about bunnies and rainbows, you know, or woo-woo. You like, this makes sense to me because, yeah, I've had that experience too. Either I've had those negative experiences or, yes, I've had those positive experiences. And, yeah, I had better workplace experiences, outcomes, you know, results and so on in this more loving condition than in the fear condition.
You introduced an interesting word there, which I think people may miss if they just look at the headline. Of this. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it's about introducing love and diminishing fear in the workplace. The word you introduced was results.
Yes.
It's hard stuff, isn't it? This is stuff
it is.
That really does make a difference.
Yeah, it is. You know, we often think that that we have to make this choice. And I hear people frame it this way. Are we going to be, you know, are we going to care for people or are we going to go after getting results? And that is the wrong question. That is like the wrong frame. We've been sold that frame, that way of thinking about this, but it's the wrong way to think about it. And we need to set that aside because the right question is, how on earth am I going to get results if I don't care for people?
Yeah,
they absolutely are inextricably linked. And what we know, like the neuroscience shows us that, and frankly, we have all now in this last year and a half had our own visceral experience with fear and threat. We know what happens when we experience a threat, and we've all like, you know, been sent home to experience this, you know, mostly, not everyone, obviously, the frontline workers have continued with their own kind of, you know, fear and, you know, facing the threat conditions. But we've all experienced different versions of threat and fear related to this pandemic. And we know what happened. We know how we lost sleep. We know how, you know, we were anxious and like all of the physiological responses that we've experienced, all the ways that it was harder to learn, all of the anxiety and stress and how that's played out. And we've also learned some things about how to de-escalate that threat and fear response and come into better sort of presence with ourselves and each other. And that's instructive for us, for our teams as well.
Fascinating. So what's the big vision? Why have you, you know, what's the change you're trying to bring about?
So my purpose is to make love normal in the workplace, to make love a primary value that no one flinches or no one is, you know, shocked by that. Yeah. When we talk about work and, or excuse me, when we talk about love in a professional setting, that I'm not like dropping the love bomb as it were. but instead that it is, well, of course we would want love as, you know, a core value and a core way of being with each other and a core set of actions that we would expect from each other. People might choose different words, and I get that. I'm not the love police. I don't like say that everyone has to use that word, but I do, you know, believe that we need to grapple with what's our versions of love, that that we want to have, you know, that we want to express and use, that calls us to our best and highest self. And so essentially my work is about making workplaces everywhere more loving and human, and embracing love as an absolutely acceptable practice and expectation.
Brilliant. I quite like the idea of love police, actually. I think that'd be quite wonderful. So what's next in terms of the mission? Where, how far do you feel you've got so far? You know, have you got a long way to go? Is it a case of, you know, everything's now crystal clear? Where are you in this journey? Because I think sometimes people feel like, okay, I've had an idea, now just go out and do it and, you know, just get on with it. But actually, as you and I both know, creating change, making change happen, takes time. So where are you in this journey?
So there's really, I would say, two main parts to, you know, to my efforts so far. And what part one is that I feel like I sort of have this assignment, if you will, from the universe to bring this message forward in the particular way that I've discovered to share it, that seems effective, that like that helps reach people around the business, the good business sense that it makes to be more loving and human. And that's a message that I feel compelled to bring anywhere, everywhere I can, as often as I can. But then when I do that, like then people want support for that. And I, as one person, can only do so much. And so the second part is this team that is collecting, gathering together under the umbrella of the human workplace, who are people who are also committed to making work more loving and human, and who bring different pieces of the puzzle, different skills, different, you know, abilities, different ways of engaging with organizations, and frankly can bring, you know, whether it's an individual leadership coaching or it's helping with systemic change or anything in between, that we're gathering, a ever-growing team of practitioners around the world who can help make that change happen. And, you know, I'm particularly excited and interested in, I'll put it this way. I'm not as interested in trying to convince the unwilling. Now, there's always going to be the 10% out there who are going to scoff at this. And that's fine. Part of change is like understanding where to put your energy. And I don't think we need to spend a lot of time trying to persuade those who are going to be skeptical in not a generative kind of way. There's asking good hard questions, yes, bring those, but you know, those who would just be skeptical and, you know, crabby about this, I'm not so interested. But instead we have people who have been on the cutting edge, who need to have that their stories amplified or their efforts amplified to, you know, help them to become even more successful and models of what's possible. And then we have folks who are like willing but hesitant and like have not realized, oh, like this is a thing, like I can tap into my humanity and that's going to be welcome and helpful. Yes. And we want to help people who are willing and have the lights go on and are energized by this to step in more fully to that journey. So that, you know, we see helping with that. I also see just a tremendous opportunity with younger folks. I think we've got a generation, you know, in the US we talk about them as millennials and Gen Z, you know, people coming along who are looking, at like leaders who are ready for retirement, perhaps, you know, boomers they're looking at that, at those models, maybe industrial era models of leadership, going, you know, those just don't work for me anymore. Like that's not, I want to be a leader, but I don't want to be that kind of leader. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a huge opportunity to join arms with younger leaders who are looking for a different way to lead.
I like that.
Helping them and inspiring them and affirming that their instincts are right on.
Mm. I used to have a mentor who talked about running with the runners. Mm. So that is, you know, not focusing on, as you say, the 10% who are scoffing. Let's run with the people who want to run with this concept, because fire loves energy. And the more energy we can put into this, the more it's going to catch a light, and the more, you know, people will really understand the power behind this concept, which is, you know, just great. Fantastic.
I think Simon, that, sorry, I was going to say, I think that we get going so much. I think that that's true just in general about change, right? Mm. That when we're in a team or in our organizations, when we've got a change to make, focusing on our energy on the willing and those who are going to set the tone and set the pace and be the example, and frankly where the energy and fun are going to be, like that, focusing our energy there and building momentum there, and that will help bring along, you know, the rest. Yeah. So I always think that's a good change principle.
Definitely. Renee, it remains just for me to say a big, huge thank you for coming and sharing your story, sharing the story of a human workplace and all the fantastic work that you're doing there. Is there anything that you want to share with the audience so that they can get in touch? How can people get involved? Anything at all? What would be useful for the listeners?
Sure. Oh, thanks for that opportunity. So they can check us out, you know, check out our website, and there's links there, the Let's Talk link to connect up if someone wants to, you know, speak to me or to someone on the team. It's makeworkmorehuman.com, makeworkmorehuman.com. And, you know, happy to talk to anyone who's been energized or inspired or like curious about what is this you're doing. And then I think the other opportunity that I would share is we host a Forward to Work Learning Circle each month. It's an hour a month. The next one's on September 23rd from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And those are free open sessions to just come together with a global community, really, of people who are committed to making work more loving and human. And we'll be exploring in particular this path forward to work and different aspects of that each month. So happy to have folks join us for that.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I hope you have an enjoyable rest of your day, and do come back and see us again soon. In the meantime, good luck with everything that you're doing. I know that you've got a diary that's starting to fill up with all these speaking engagements as you share this message. So I hope I wish you every success with this message, because there's a lot of people out there that need to hear it. So thank you, Renee.
Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate that. Much love to you.
Fantastic. So that was it. That was the Change Show with Simon Phillips. Come back again next week. It's been great to spend time with you. Do send me your questions. I'll see you next week.